We'll start now. So, Gutbach. I guess if more people come, more people come. If not, more than happy to speak to you guys. What? It's okay. Okay, so, as I mentioned in the when I sent out the title of the shiur, the shiur is going to be about the lo saseh of lo samor adam reyacha. So a little bit different than past year, I mean, that it's not necessarily a specific case that was asked of me. It's more of a, it was a general question that happened, I'm sure people are aware of, this past week. And it happened to be there are a few questions that have come up in, over the last week or two that I decided I might as well give a share and talk about a few things. So obviously the most recent news, although I think on Thursday it was settled, but the nurses' strike that was just in the Montefiore, the Mount Sinai Hospital. So obviously that very much affects the hospitals, and it affects also the students in the medical school. They get free lunches and dinners and whatever at Weiler. But it's obviously very, very impactful. And the question is, how does the halacha view when doctors, or in this case it was nurses, I don't mean to distinguish, my wife's a nurse, so I hold them just as highly. When doctors or nurses go on strike and they refuse to take care of patients, so how does halacha view that? Is that mutter? Is it mutter to go on strike in general? Is there something different about hospitals? So these are all various questions that come up. So the question of strikes and unions in general in halacha have actually been discussed at a great length already by many, many poskim. I'll give just a few minutes in a few of the, what we would call the Rashi Prakim, just the, you know, the chapters, the titles of the chapters, really, of the discussion in general. And we'll try to bring it more specifically when it comes to strikes in hospitals. So the post can already bring down that the Gemara at the beginning of Bava Basra on Daf Ches Amud Aleph points out that people of a city are allowed to gather together and come together to set prices in the city, to set what limits are in terms of spending in the city, and more importantly for our situation, that they can band together and basically say, anyone who doesn't listen, we can punish them, we can fine them, we can do something. The Gemara there on Tessa Maral tells us that there were two people that went in partnership together, went into business together, and they basically said, I'm going to work, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're going to work Thursday, Friday, whatever, they made 6 days, you got it, Sunday, thank you. And they basically made a decision that part of their partnership was that if you worked on the other person's day, the other person can just rip up your profit. They can rip up the hide of the animal that you received, basically. And it happened, and they brought it in front of the one of the Amoraim, and the Amora said, you're not allowed to do that, and you had to pay him back. And the Gemara basically concludes that even though you're allowed to make these kind of partnerships, what we would call in modern language a union, even though you're allowed to unionize, you have to do it with the haskam of Adam Chashov. You have to do it based off someone very, very important in the city. He kind of has to be the leader in this to set the ground rules, and they didn't have that. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, in Choshe Mishpat, in Chelek Aleph and Siman Nun Hei, is where Nun Hei and Nun Vav are the two tshuvas where he discusses these ideas. So there in Nun Hei, he points out that generally speaking, you wouldn't need an Adam Chashov to unionize. Only in a case where part of the punishment would be against halacha, such as ripping up someone else's stuff, the only way that it takes effect is if you have an Adam Chashov that kind of creates the whole union. But if not, if it's just fining a person for not listening, so you don't need an Adam Chashov to unionize, and it's totally okay, as the Gemara seems to tell us. Moreover, the Gemara seems to be clear that it's not just when people of the city gather to create this, but even business partners, even within a business, even what we would call Bali Umnas. And this is clear in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Yudalit of Hilchos Mechira, Halacha Yod, I don't have the word. Okay, I thought I had the Lashon, but he brings it down. The Rashi is also there in Bava Basra in the first parak that even Bali Umnas, even workers, can unionize, not just people of a city. And the Shulchan Aruch brings it down in Choshe Mishpat and Siman Reish Lamed Aleph. The Ramah there points out you can only unionize if most of the people that are doing what you're doing are part of that union. So it happens to be, just practically speaking, let's say if you work for a hospital in Montefiore, Mount Sinai, so you become part of, the nurses become part of that union. You don't really, so the miyot is, if there isn't, in this case, even a miyot, but theoretically there would be a miyot, and that's why you can unionize. But theoretically, if let's say you were part of the nurses of Montefiore, and, you know, 10% of them were part of a union, and the other 90% didn't want to be part of the union. So halacha would say that you can't unionize, you can't enforce any rules on the other 90% on the rove. Only the majority can enforce on the minority. Okay, that's just, again, that's a very brief summary of unions in general, and that's the basis for unions being existent in halacha. Where things get tricky and have gotten tricky within the last 100 years about are teacher unions. And this was a question that was asked a long time ago, in Eretz Yisrael specifically, but it was asked by someone from America and someone I think maybe from Eretz Yisrael, I don't remember where. Two people asked the question, and they asked it specifically of Rav Goren, who was then the chief rabbi in Israel, right? Was Rav Goren
the chief rabbi
of the army? Was he ever okay? So it was just of the army. I think it was Rav Goren. What?
Maybe he was of Israel too.
Maybe Israel too. I don't remember. But they asked him, and basically the way it worked, when he received a lot of shalos, he would bring it to a lot of the other poskim of the generation. So we have the tshuvas of a lot of poskim of that generation. It's brought down in the publication called Tchumen, in the fifth publication there. So it has a tshuva that, again, he presented the tshuva to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, to Rav Nachum Partzavitz of the Mir, and of, I'm missing someone, of the Rishon LeZion. No, it was after the, the Rishon LeZion wasn't alive then. But we have the tshuva of the Rishon LeZion also, in the Mishpatei Uzio, but he brought it in Tchumen, and it has a bunch of those, the responses that they had. So, again, when it comes to teacher unions, the other than the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, we have the only really American posuk talks about is Rav Moshe. In that next tshuva, in Ken Choshen Mishmar Chelek Aleph, this is Simon Nun Vav, he discusses teacher unions. And basically what he says is teachers are allowed to ask for a raise, they're allowed to ask for more money if they need it. But that being said, you can't really prevent people from learning. And if you're going to back out of people learning, it's going to be a problem, especially if you're going to cause other people to back out. So he leaves it as perhaps there may be ways when it would be okay for teachers to go on strike, but you would need what he called like Yishuv Das Gadol is the lashon he uses. It's not so simple. That's how Rav Moshe concludes. Not so simple. He would not be so pro teachers unionizing. Oh, really striking. Unionizing is another thing. But striking, and part of the big reason is it's a lot of Bittul Torah. That's where he's coming from. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and that tshuva there in Tchumen quotes from the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat in Siman Reish Lamed Gimel that a worker is not allowed to quit if you're going to cause a loss, a davar ha'avid. So if you are hired for, let's just use a week, and you know you're the only person that can do the job, and you know by quitting your employer is going to lose out on a lot of money, you're not allowed to quit until it's over. Barring extenuating circumstances, but that's generally the rule that's brought down a Choshen Mishpat. The Rama there points out teachers are a davar ha'avid. That a teacher, a melamed, is by definition, it's a loss by having him, you know, go on strike, quote unquote. So Shlomo Zalman points out that even if you say that, you know, by teachers going on strike, maybe they can return the next day or that day even, there's still some problem, and especially because of the Bittul Torah. And definitely, if you're going to cause other teachers to also leave and also, you know, quote unquote, go on strike, which is by definition what a strike is, that would be a very big issue. 1 second, and then if you look again in Tchumen, they bring down also from Rav Nachum, where he says, also, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, they both say the Bittul Torah is also a Davar HaAvid, so by definition, you wouldn't be able to not work. Just for whether it's financial reasons or other reasons. All the poskim, nevertheless, do say that you're able to ask for more money and you're able to take them to court. You're able to get more money. The question is just the davar ha'aved of the Bittul Torah that can be caused by it. What were you going to ask? Yeah, so it seems from the poskim, it seems to be that it's really where they're really coming from. This is where Tzvi Pesach Frank for sure is, Rav Nachum, and even Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to be talking about the Bittul Torah. So a secular teacher, it may be much more okay. The poskim also discuss, again, the first Rishon LeZion in Mishpatei Uziel, in Choshen Mishpat, in Siman Mem Beis, he also talks about this. And they discuss what happens, you know, if you can get someone to take your spot, you can get a replacement, is a mutter. So there are a lot of tshuvas about this. Tzitz Eliezer also has a tshuva about this. And so does Chacham Avad and Chav Adas. He also discusses this about teachers, about whether you're allowed to get replacements. It's based on Dina D'Malchus Adina. Okay, there are a lot of pieces here. And again, as I pointed out before, that's not the goal of the shir. Though the only reason I wanted to bring this discussion down specifically is because although we said there's clearly a source to unionize and to go on strike, as we mentioned from the Gemara Bava Basra, there are certain situations where it may not be okay, such as teachers, because of a different circumstance, a different reason, which would be, in this case, Betel Torah, and those things, yeah.
Earlier you mentioned that Rav Moshe, he explained the Gemara Bava Basra, as if you're doing an Isser, then you need, that's when you need an Adam Chashuv. Would that apply here too, that if you had a Skama from an Adam Chashuv, that you could go over this mitzvah, or when you have a Devar HaOved,
So from what it seems like, the way that the poskim present it is that, again, the davar avid. When I brought down the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat by Rish Lama Gimel, what I was that the Choshen Mishpat there is talking about quitting,
right.
Not talking about going on strike. Shlomo Zalman is pointing out that you're right. Even here, even though you're not quitting, still the fact that you're taking off on purpose. And it's going to cause Bitel Torah is going to be a problem. So in this case, even though when you go Keneged HaDin, you're theoretically able to make a pact to go Keneged HaDin, if it's with a Haskama, what it seems to be is Bitel Torah is an overriding factor that a Haskama wouldn't be able to kind of get out under.
Okay.
And the question here is for us more is what about hospitals? Because on one hand, you're able to unionize, and there's no Bittul Torah here, right? So that whole teacher thing goes out. But are you able to go on strike as a hospital? Because there's another extenuating circumstance or another factor here, which would be right? Losamul adam reyacha. The pasuk very clearly tells us you can't just stay by while the blood of your brother is spilling. Meaning, if you have someone that you need to save, you have to save them. So the question is whether that applies and whether that's important. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin 9 Gimel Amud Aleph tells us, and I'll read, Tanu Rabbanan, Minayin Lerodev Achar Chaver Lahargo Shenitan Latil Benafsho. Someone is going to kill someone else. So how do you know you have to go, and you're right there, you have the ability to save him? How do you know you're chayv to go and save the person being chased? Tamalomar Lo Samal Adam Reyacha. You have to save the person. And the Gemara continues and gives other examples. L'roes chaveiro shotovea b'nahar. You see a friend drowning. Ochaye goroso, or an animal about to eat him, attack him. Olistin banalov, or a bunch of thieves, robbers coming to attack him. Shuchay v'atzilo. How do you know you're chayv to save that person? Again, if you have the ability to. Tamalomar lo samal adam reyacha. The Gemara then continues and the Gemara says, hold on a second. From a totally different source. The reason why I have to save people is because the pasuk says "Vashevosa lo," talking about Hashavas Aveda, that you have to return the lost object. The Gemara Darshan is not just the lost object, but even Aveda's Gufo. If a person's about to lose his body, you have to save him. So that's the source really for saving a person's life. And the Gemara concludes and says there's a chilek. Ime hasam, the Gemara concludes there in Sanhedrin 9 Gimel, Ime hasam hava mina hanimil binafshei. If it's really for Vashevosa lo, I would have just thought that if I have the ability to save Ploni, that person, I am obligated to save him. Aval mitrach omegar agure emalo. But if the only way to save him is for me to go hire a SWAT team and to go buy a gun, do all these things just to save him as opposed to just my body, so Hashevosa lo doesn't teach you, you have to do that. Kamash Malon, what does Lo Samon Adam Reacha teach you? Not only do I have to save with my body, but I even have to spend money to save. I even have to spend money to save that person. That's how Rashi clearly explains the Gemara there. So that's what the Lo Saseh of Lo Samon Adam Reacha, that you shall not stand by while your brother's blood is spilling, or whatever, however you would exactly translate that. What that means is not just you're chayef to save your friend, but you're even chayef to spend money to save your friend. Now this became a big question in the poskim as to how much money do you have to spend. So the Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer Avas Chesed in the 20th chapter quotes from a tshuva from the Zera Emes, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes it actually. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes it in Yardei, I think it is. But he writes that you would have to give all your money. If you see your friend that's about to be, God forbid, killed, you would have to spend all your money to save your friend. That's what Lo Samal Adam Reacha is teaching you. And again, this is part of a much larger discussion, but not everyone agreed. The Maharsham in Chelek Ha'eviz Tshuvos says, no, you would just have to spend up to a Chomesh. The Gra writes in Yardei Kufran Zayin, it seems to be all Losa says, you just have to spend up to a Chomesh, and therefore you wouldn't have to spend more than a fifth of your money, but you don't have to spend all your money. But either way, there's a discussion about whether all your money up to a fifth. What's clear is that unlike Vashevos Alo, you have to spend money though. You do have to spend something in order to save your friend. The Rambam in Hilchos Tzeach in Perek Aleph Halacha Yod Aleph writes the following: Kol Hayachol Lahatzil V'Lo Hitzil Over Alosam L'Adam Reicha. Based off the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we just said you have the ability to save your friend, and you don't. You're going to be over. You're going to transgress, violate the prohibition of Losam L'Adam Reicha. V'chein Aroes Chaver Tovei Abayam Olistim Ba'am Alav Ochaya Ra Ba'alav. You see your friend drowning, people attacking him, an animal attacking him, and he himself is able to save him. Again, those are the words the Rambam's adding in, because that's clear. If you can't save him, we're not going to say you're over an Isser. But when you're able to save him, the Rambam adds on, not only you're able to save him, but you can hire people to save him. You have that money. And you didn't. You hear something bad going to happen to a Jew. And you never told, you didn't tell your friend when you heard this bad thing's going to happen. You know a non-Jew is going to take out, make sure he gets $1 million from the Jew. And you know you have a way to appease him. You know you have a way to kind of get rid of him, not to pressure the Jew so much. And you don't do that. And you didn't appease him. All of these types of examples, anything similar to that. If you end up doing this, meaning you don't end up saving your friend, you transgress losam adam reyecha. Okay, ad kan lashono. So what's clear from the Rambam is another aspect of losam. Again, from the Gemara, it's clear that losam means I'm not just obligated to save someone I can, but I'm obligated to spend money to save someone. What the Rambam adds on is not just if the danger is right there, but even if you know something's going to happen in the future. There's no danger right now. But I heard that something is going to happen to that Jew, and I have the ability to make sure that it doesn't happen. Even that is going to be part of the Ister of Losam and Adam Reyecha, which is very important for our case, because, and again, the Shulchan Aruch passes this way in Chosha Mishpat and Tav Chaf Vav. So the reason that's important for us is because when we have a strike in a hospital, both of these would seem to apply. Number one, even though you can incur financial loss by working, doesn't give you a right to go on strike, doesn't give you a right to stop working because there's still losam adam reyecha, because you would even have to incur financial loss for that. And number two, even if, let's say I go on strike, and I say there's no one, you know, I didn't have a patient yesterday, so there's no, but if the strike's going to be 4 or 5 days, and you may end up having a patient, that would still be part of Losam Adam Reyecha, even if it's going to stop something in the future, some sort of sakana from happening. It happens to be Lemaisa, this strike, I think, ended on Thursday, I think. Right? It did, right? I think they came to an agreement. But that would be the idea, yeah.
I think still the gather of, like, it's, so the Ram says it extends it not to just the sakana in front of you, right? It says, like, it's in the future. But there still needs to be more definition to that gather. So, for example, maybe I have to pay money so that the strike doesn't happen. Like, I'm not a nurse, but, like, maybe I know that it's happening. So, am I yachal latzilo, you know?
Well, you're not.
Why not? I could go hire a visiting nurse, pay, you know, thousands of dollars to get some visiting nurses.
What would that accomplish?
Visiting nurse would be substitution for the nurse.
How many nurses went on strike?
All the nurses.
Yeah, so I'm saying. You're saying for each individual patient.
But the hospitals, they hired visiting nurses, like for nurses.
No. I'm saying, but from you, you don't have the financial means to hire all the nurses to substitute.
Maybe I can get one. I don't know. Maybe I can.
So the question is whether you have to get one. Yeah, you're correct. So that's
my point is like, let's say, so we have already established that there's a sheet that is called mono. Maybe it's not Muslim or whatever, but. Still, what's the get there of, like, it's right in front of you, like, that yachol atzilo, like, what's the definition of, like, okay, so the nurses have a job, so then they're more shy to that,
yeah,
that sakana, but, like, I know about it, I've heard of it, you know, so maybe I should go call the nurse, the travel nurse aide. So we have to, like, a little bit define a little bit more.
I absolutely agree with you. Belina, I'm going to try to get it by the end. I can't promise I will, but I'm going to try. But what you're hitting on is probably the most important point in terms of the Hagdara of Lo Samod. Who it applies to.
Yeah.
Right? Does it apply to the entire world?
Yeah.
Meaning, because all the examples are people that are very into, that can have some impact on the situation. Something like a strike, the whole world can theoretically have an impact. Mm-hmm. Are you part of Lo Samod? So, in a Hanami, the difference is here, so let's say you hide, meaning if you're not going to be, if you're an outsider in this case, so you're not going to be able to be the one that ends the strike, by definition. You can hire your nurses, and you, what?
I can decrease the sakana.
You can decrease it, yeah, you can, so you can help with theoretical patients, yeah. Okay, yeah, well, we're going to leave it at that. We're going to hopefully answer it in a little bit of a roundabout way in this situation, not in general, but specific to this situation, I'll lean out there. Okay, but what you see either way, yeah, we're going to, okay. What you do see is Lo Samod does apply, again, you would have to spend money, and it's even future, and so at least for the, let's say, in our cases, the nurses on strike, theoretically, it should be an issue. The one other thing, aside from Lo Samod Adam Re'echa, so the Torah writes at the end of Yoredeya Shin Lamed Vav, and I'll quote the Lashon, the Torah is quoting about the permission for doctors to do refuah. Right, the Torah was Nasna Rishus L'Rofei L'Rapos. So the Torah writes there, Bal Lamdenu Shenasna Lo Rishus L'Rapos. U Mitzvahi, it's a mitzvah to heal. U V'chlal Pikuach Nefeshu, it's part of Pikuach Nefesh. V'azar Yizarizem Eshubach, and you know, someone who has alacrity is more praiseworthy. V'imoneya atzmo, and if you prevent yourself, if you don't allow yourself to heal, hariza shofech damim. It's as if you're murdering. V'afilu yeshlo mishayir pa'enu shelo mina kol adam zochel esrapos. Even if there are other people, like theoretically, if you have the ability to do it, and you still say I don't want to do it, no. The big question here. This is the plane question. You're on a plane. Every doctor just wants a little bit of time off, and then immediately they call, they say, is there a doctor on the plane? So I think probably a lot of doctors are like, they pretend they're sleeping or whatever, and unless they say, no, it's an emergency, then they're like, oh, I have to. My Hippocratic oath, whatever it is. But the tour is writing that, again, based off the Beis Yosef and the Ramban, but the tour is writing that, I mean, the Beis Yosef quotes based off the Ramban, but the tour is writing, it's kishofech damim if you refuse to treat patients when you can, even if there's someone else treating. Now, the question is whether that's halachic, or whether that's, you know, are you really a shofech damim? I don't know, it's not so clear. So we pointed out this morning that there's a discussion about, and it comes up there in Choshem Mishpat and Taf Chaf Vav, about being machnes atzma l'safek sakana, in order to save someone else. Are you able to enter into a case when you may be harmed to save someone else? And it seems to be two opinions. One is brought down by the Agos Maimonios in Hilchos Ratzeach, who quotes from the Yerushalmi that you are chayiv, you are obligated to enter into a situation where you may be negatively affected, where you may put yourself into a sakana, it's a safek, you're not sure, to save someone else. While others, and we pointed out the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chachma writes in a few places, that you would not be obligated, and he brings a few proofs. One of the things I mentioned is that Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav that he quotes from that the Rav used to say that there's a well-known story, this wasn't just from the Rav, it's written down in a few places, that during the cholera epidemic, Sir Reb Chaim Paskin, that everyone has to go out to the streets to help all the sick people, the people who are fainting and all of that, to help as much as they can. They say that there was one time he even took off his, you know, coat in the freezing cold just to put on the patient, and he put himself in a real sakana, and he felt you were obligated to do it. Why? So the way the Rav explained it was that because you are obligated to put yourself, he held like that, Hagais Maimonios, that you were obligated to put yourself in a safek sakana to save another person, to save another Jew. That's at least how the Rav understood it. So the reason why it's important is because the whole concept isn't so clear. Like, what does that mean? You're obligated to put yourself in a safek sakana to save someone else. We know we have a concept called chayecha kodmim. Your life comes first. So the Gemara in Bava Metzion Samach Beis tells us if you have two people walking in a desert, there's only one keton of mayim, there's only one jug of water. They're both going to die unless someone drinks it. So first the Gemara says, you know, both drink a little bit. But until Rabbi Akiva comes, Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to live with the mitzvos chayecha kodmim. Your life comes first. So the way the Yerushalmi seems to understand this whole idea of chayecha kodmim is that that only applies when there's a vadai sakana. When you enter into a position and you know for sure, you're certain that's a sakana for you, then we say chayecha kodmin. But anytime it's not for sure a sakana, the principle of lo samur adam riecha immediately is there. Immediately gets thrown in. So even in a suffix sakana, we have lo samur adam riecha. So Reb Chaim Paskin, during the cholera epidemic, since you have the ability to help out all these sick people, you have to go out and help all these sick people. That's similar to the way of Schirmbach understands it in his Chuvas Vanagos and the Chelak Hay in Simen Tafza and Simen Chinsadi, where he discusses this a little bit. But that's presumably the idea. If Reb Chaim really held that you have to put yourself in a suffix sakana to help someone else, it was because he was holding like the Yerushalmi, and basically what he was saying was lo samur adam reyecha applies in any case other than when it's a vadai sakana for you. Other than when it's specifically a sakana for you. So if it's not, then it would be what we call lo samur adam reyecha. Lo samur adam reyecha, the way Rav Shternbach seems to understand it, is some sort of ritzicha. It's as if you're like murdering the person. So he tries explaining how that's possible. So if you look at Reb Chaim Sefer on the Rambam, the first piece he has, he discusses, he thinks there's a concept called a din ritzicha b'shev al tasa. There can be a passive case of ritzicha. It doesn't mean you're a murderer, but there's a din ritzicha, now that needs its own explanation, b'shev al tasa. You can have a case where you do nothing, you're passive, and there's still a din of murder on that case. And presumably, that's what would happen in the case of Lo Samur Adam Reyecha. So this is very similar to what we just quoted from the Torah, Harizah Shofech Damin. For some reason, it may even be not just, you know, Mitzan Muster, but halachically, it's very possible to say that when you violate Lo Samur Adam Reyecha, when you have the ability to heal someone, and you don't, in any case other than when it's a certain sakana for you, you would violate Lo Samur, and you would have some din of a ritzicha, there would be a ritzicha, even if you're just being passive. But which is very, very intense, obviously.
You say it's like an afkmina for like a coin to dope him or
something. So the problem of when Rav Shternbach brings it down the tshuva, so he thinks the person would have a rotzeach b'shev al tas, and then he says he doesn't understand that, because then if he's a rotzeach, and someone else can kill him. I can just walk up to someone who, you know, a nurse on strike, assuming that it is, and just, obviously you can't do that. So I think what Reb Chaim is saying is not that you're literally a rotzeach for all those reasons, but the action has a din rotzicha, even though Sheva Altas. And what that nafkamina is, that's a totally separate discussion. We don't have the time for that. But what comes out then is, let's say this, doctors or nurses are on strike, let's just say. So number one, it would be a problem of lo samur adam reyecha, because even if you're losing out money, you still have to work, number one. Number two, even if there's an asakana in front of you, you still have to work. Number three, lo samur may not just be a lo sasei, but it may be something more intense. It may be like you're actually, there's some sort of din ritzicha. Maybe. So what comes out, we pointed out from the words of the Rambam, I'm going to read them one more time, of the Torah. If you don't, if you can heal and you don't, even if there are other doctors there, it's based off the Gemara in Bava Kamma and Pehei. You know, not from everyone you get you have the ability to choose who you want to be your doctor. Whatever the Gemara's case is there in Pehei. So the Shvus Yaakov is a very, very interesting tshuva on Chelek Aleph and Simen Pei Vav. The Pesachei tshuva brings it down somewhere. But he discusses a doctor who's in Avel. And a doctor who's in Avel, he says, is allowed, if he has a patient, he's allowed to leave the base Avel, the house where he's sitting, and he's allowed to go and heal the patient in wherever the patient is. Even if the patient can use any other doctor. And again, it's the same idea. When you have the ability to do something, it's irrelevant to what everyone else has. But if you have the ability to do something and you don't, and you're monei atzmo, sorry, you're lo samur adam reyecha, all these things. So obviously then, you know, the concept of nurses or doctors going on strike seems to be bad. Historically, there have been other cases of strikes in hospitals. Does anyone know of any cases?
I think in Israel.
Yeah, Tavshin Mem Gimel, 1983. I guess it was 40 years ago. Yeah, right. We're in Tavshin Pagan. So the Shari Tzedek, they went on strike, and they quoted in the publication Asya. That's a big medical halacha. You know, there are a lot of books. It's kind of like Tchumen in that sense, just medical halacha. So there they have letters from Rav Shlomo Zalman and Dayan Weiss and Minchas Yitzchak to Shari Tzedek. The difference is there, the administration of the hospital asked the poskim. It's not like in America, they're not going to go and ask, like, you know. But they asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, and they wrote a tshuva, and they said, you can't do that. You're not allowed to go on strike. Again, the poskim were never saying you can't ask for more money. They just said you can't go on strike. So then I think the next move that they did, they decided to go on a hunger strike. They said, okay, if we can't go on a strike, we can go on a hunger strike. So Rav Shlomo Zalman had to write a second letter saying it's definitely also to go on a hunger strike. That's hezek. So it's definitely a problem to do that as well. But in that same article in Asya, so they quote, he also asked from Mordechai Eliyahu and Rav Avraham Shapiro, who is the Sephardi Ashkenazi chief rabbis. They said there's room to be makel in certain situations. Not for right now. But so that we have real cases of strikes in Eretz Yisrael where poskim said, again, you're not allowed to go on strike for these reasons. It's lo samal adam reyecha. You can't just not do it. They quote that I saw in the Sefer, I think it was in that publication in Asya, that another svara, and they quote that everyone knows from the Masecha Sofrim, that tov shabarofim legehenim, right? Everyone seems to know they quote from the Gemara, but it's really Masecha Sofrim, that the best of the doctors go to Gehenim. There are like myriads of explanations as to why. So the Chida explains, because a lot of times a doctor will, you know, favor the rich and kill the poor. So they were quoting, that's another reason why that going on strike would be a problem. It's part of this Tov Sheberofim L'Gehenim. Interesting idea. Okay, but so again, we have background, and it seems to be, it should be problematic, yeah.
Is there any difference in the sense that that in Israel, and certainly in America, a lot of these strikes are approved and
so this is,
in a sense, in a democratic country, the patients have elected to allow the nurses to strike as approved by the NLRB. It's a sort of out of question.
Yeah, so I pointed out that the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva. So the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelik Beis and Siman Ayin Beis has a tshuva about strikes in general, and his thesis, basically, and a lot of the other pros can follow in suit, is that strikes are mutter anytime it's dinah l'machus adina. Similar to what you're saying. The difference here, he's not talking about medical. The difference here is hospitals are different because we also have low samur. So even things that are dina l'machus adina, it's not going to have any impact in bikuach nefesh. But where I thought you were going with, yeah.
Is low samur on patients that aren't suffix? I found like just, some patients are just in the hospital.
Yeah, l'chor or not. Yeah, but unless there is a chashash that they may get worse.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, presumably not. But if you're in a hospital, you have a lot of patients that are not
the
just...
can't go out, but
I think most people admitted to hospitals are usually in a status of Cholesh Yesh Bo Sakana, at least at the beginning. On all floors, I think. Am I wrong about that? Are there any floors that...
Yeah,
there are exceptions. I agree to that. But generally, when people ask me, Shailas, I'd say about... Usually, if they're admitted to a hospital, usually it's Cholesh Yesh Bo Sakana, and that's where you start the answer. But where I thought Michael was going with is part of strikes is that, you know, hospitals have rules when strikes come. They have a way to go about things. So, for example, in the Montefiore hospitals, right, they sent all the NICU babies to, I don't know which hospital, a different hospital. All ambulances that were coming were...
Diverted.
What? Yeah, were diverted to other hospitals. Like, they have rules. If they didn't, the CEOs would be fired. If they didn't have a plan in place. So there are plans in place. So the question is whether there's Lo Samar Adam Reecha when the hospitals are built in, that they have these plans. I saw someone asked... I'm in a WhatsApp group with Rev Rimon, so someone asked him this question, and Rev Rimon didn't really give he didn't really give an answer, but this is one of the things he mentioned, I think, if I recall correctly, was that it's hard to say it's Lo Samad when, like, hospitals have a way of going about things.
Precisely the Torah says? The Torah says that even if you could send them to another doctor and you don't go,
it's even, but here, this is, the difference is when the hospital themselves are meaning what's built in, you work for the hospital, they pay you, and the hospital have built in that if you're going to go on strike, they'll send to someone else. So it's a lot less direct. And it could be it's a little bit different than in Eretz Yisrael, where, you know, the hospital themselves were asking the poskim. So even if it was built in, they were hoping it wouldn't work. You know, I don't know if it was any different. The second big difference, and I do think there's a big difference, and this will take us to the second part, which won't be too long, Neder, but... is that another question here is, even if it is Lo Samud, the question is, let's say I'm a nurse, and they ask me to be part of the strike, I'm part of the union, but I know maybe halachically because of Lo Samar, I shouldn't be part of the strike. So I'm not going to take part of the strike. I'm going to work. So then what happens is now Monday comes, this Monday, where the strike's over. How are my colleagues going to see me? They're not going to like me at all. And chances are, and I think this is a pretty high chance, that in a week from now, when you know my patient is coding, and I'm there trying to help my patient, and I say, can I get help? And those nurses are going to snicker at me, and they're going to be like, we don't want to help that person. She's not one of us. He's not one of us. What?
That's a far-fetched
story. I don't think that's so far-fetched. Again, from my experience...
Maybe not in the coding example is not a good example.
Fine.
If you would like want to turn the patient, you know, sometimes you have to turn the patient. So like, yeah. But like for a real sakana, I mean, like, yeah. Can I imagine?
Okay, so I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example I've given before, and this is a totally different context. But I've given in a different one of the medical halacha shiurim. Rav Neuberger told me this, that there was a patient, there was a Jewish from doctor. I think he was working in Colombia or something. He was on the transplant team. I don't know if it was during his residency or not. And one day they were working, and he noticed they were going very, very, very slowly. And he kept on saying, okay, it's a transplant. We got to, like, hurry up, take it out, whatever. Very, very slowly. And he kept on, like, trying to push the team, and he didn't know why. And then finally one of the nurses pulled aside and said, you know, the patient is a Jew, and they don't donate anyway.
These things happen.
Oh, okay.
The question is are they prevalent enough that you're going to like cheshman that as part of your, like, make that a star?
That's the question. I'm not giving it as a vaday. As long as you agreed it as a question, I'm fine.
No, but I'm saying something that happens, like, it has to happen. If it ever happens, it becomes a subject matter?
No, I mean, that's part of the Chassam Sofer is one in, you know, 100 million. But the question, from my understanding, speaking to nurses, not just my wife who is a nurse, it's not uncommon to be petty. And you're right, maybe when a patient's coding, but there are other serious situations where patient would be like, where nurses would be like, I don't want to help, and it ends up being something worse. And from my understanding, that wouldn't be something so crazy.
Nurses can be petty, yes. I'm not
doctors can also be petty, just so we're clear.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I guess the point is that, like, I think that what contributes someone to be petty is more so like these people, as opposed to like the fact that you did. I guess I'm saying the argument you're making is that you're presenting opportunity to increase the likelihood that this person will be petty, right? Because it will trigger the. I think people will be petty, like, you know, independent.
No, you may be right. I'm not saying I'm definitely right. I'm saying if it's true,
the future patient.
That's what I'm saying. So if it's true, it may not be true. Maybe you're right, Moshe. I'm not saying you're wrong. If it is true, then the question is whether Lo Samar would apply, and I don't think it would, whether Lo Samar would apply if it's going to cause another Lo Samar. But this, you're saying, it just won't. You don't think it'll end up happening, and you may be right.
No, it could happen. I just think, I guess it depends on like how much of a subject it has to be.
I don't know. This is something to think about. This is not something I was... I'm saying it's for sure. It's something to think about. I don't... the question of going on strike, all this stuff, needs to be asked to an Adam Gadol. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So you're holding. Again, these questions need to be asked to an Adam Gadol. Going on strike, it's a question that's, you know, above my pay grade, but these are just kind of the sources that come out of it. In terms of Lo Samar, there was a story recently, where it was in the New York Times or something, it came out a few months ago, about one of the NYU hospitals. Anyone read this? That the NYU hospitals, they got in like a ton of trouble. They had this real, you know, VIP preferential treatment that went like totally out of hand. Did anyone read this? Am I the only one that read this about this year? It like got totally out of hand. They would like, first of all, they would divert anyone that they knew was poor coming, and they would just divert from the hospital. They wouldn't let them come in. They would like stop surgeries in the middle for patients who were like super, super wealthy. They got into a ton of trouble. They had to stop their, I think, emergency medicine department, residency department for like next year. They did. So there's something that they had to do. There was a lot of backlash. And that kind of led to the question of whether if you have two patients in front of you and you know one can pay more or is willing to pay more, are you allowed to choose that patient over another? So obviously it's a, you know, davar mechur ad ma'od. It's obviously not a nice thing to do at all in the slightest. Rav Asher Weiss is a tshuva about this in Chelek Beis, and his tshuvas in Siman Kuf Chavav So he discusses, obviously, it's not allowed. It's not allowed. It's probably gezel. And he said, "There's a we have a triage. We have a way, an order," where he writes in another truva, actually, an order of how to treat patients, which patients come first, second, third, fourth, fifth, etc. Just another thing to keep in mind is in a patient like this, if you choose the one that's richer and the other one is bisakana, so by choosing wrong, you're also violating lo samon al dam reyecha, aside from whatever gezel, whatever else you're doing. Just as another point. Anyways, just to get to the second part for a few minutes, because I don't want to not say it. The second part was also when patients refuse care. What do you do? If a patient doesn't want care, so the most common in these situations are elderly patients who just kind of don't want to take the care at all. So this is a very, very complicated question, which we're going to spend another time getting into more. But it's very, very complicated because it depends on a lot of factors. Number one, is the patient really at the end of their life? Number two, is the patient not at the end of the life? They're in a ton of pain. Number three, does the family think it's the end of the life? Does the family think it's too much pain? Right? All these are factors in terms of how we actually view the patient. And so I'm not going to discuss that. But in general, the question is, can you force patient to have treatment if they are refusing that treatment? Right? That's why it's the opposite of... Okay, you got how... connects to the first half. Okay, so the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Shabbos in Siman Shin Chaf Ches and Sifka and Vav that if you have if a chola doesn't want to take a medicine for whatever kofen also, you're able to force him. And the question is how much that's in Hilchos Shabbos, and the question is how much that applies in all other situations. So Rav Moshe Zetshuva in Choshen Mishpat and Chelek Beis and Siman Ayin Hey, I think it's in Ozayin, where he discusses a very, very old patient, an elderly patient, and what he says is you have to treat that elderly patient like any other patient. Even if that patient says, my life is horrible, I just want to go, you have to treat him like any other patient. And what's clear from Rav Moshe is that you have to try your best, your hardest, perhaps even force that patient treatment the same way you would treat a 20-year-old. That seems to be clear from what Rav Moshe says. Now, there is, again, we'll discuss when we discuss more end-of-life issues, there is a big discussion about, you know, how to treat end-of-life patients, because there's a Ran in the Dharma, Daf Mem, and many other bring this down, that it seems to be you're allowed to be, based off of Gemara, you're allowed to be mispal, you're allowed to daven for a very, very old patient, let's say, who was dying, you're allowed to daven that he dies. That being said, Rav Zilberstein writes in his Shirei Torah that we have in Chela Gimel Siman Kuf Pei, where he discusses this a little bit, but he points out that there's a chilek between davening and acting. You can daven, but you can't actively kill the patient. You have to actively save the patient, even though, or do your best to treat the patient, even though you're allowed to, let's say, daven in certain situations for the patient to pass away to save him from his pain and he's dying already, etc., etc., again, for a different discussion. But what it seems to be is that you have to do everything you can to help the patient, even if the patient seems to be refusing care. So in terms of medically, this can be difficult because the patient says they want to do anything. So it's, you know, to put in a peg or whatever you're going to put in to try to feed him or you know, do some surgery to try to open him up so that you force him to, that's going to be difficult sometimes. But that's really the question. So Rav Moshe has another tshuva right there, the tshuva right before in Siman Ayin Dalet. So there he discusses, he says if you have a gadol, meaning anyone above 12 or 13, depending on male or female, so in terms of forcing, so he writes there in Oz Gimel that you're not supposed to force a gadol to eat, who's a patient that's a chol hashesh bar sakana. You're not supposed to force him to eat because sometimes forcing them to eat can cause a bigger hezek. Now, scientifically, I did not look into this bichlal. I didn't ask about this just yet. But that's what he says. It can cause, if a patient really doesn't want to eat and you force it down, it can cause a bigger hezek. It can cause more damage. Rav Zilberstein, in that same piece I quoted earlier, points out that Rav Moshe is just talking about when the patient is eating tipin tipin. So basically, if you have a patient who's a chol hashesh bar sakana and he doesn't really want to eat, he's eating a tiny bit by tiny bit. So he's eating a little bit. You want him to eat a lot more because you need him to eat more to get stronger, but he is eating a little bit. So in that case, you can't force. But Rav Zilberstein writes, or Moshe would agree, that if the patient is not eating at all, you can force him to eat because in that case, we have a klal ein safik motzi midei vadai. The patient who's not eating is going to die. Right? That's just the facts. If you force him, so it may cause damage. But one's a safik, it may cause damage. One's a vadai, he's going to die. Obviously, you would force him in that situation. And he points out, Rav Moshe writes in the same tshuva there, in like O Zayin, when he's talking about doing a surgery. A patient doesn't want a life-saving surgery because it's going to leave him a bal mum. The classic, cut off his arm to save his life. So you have to cut off his arm to save his life, right? Because that's a vada, he's going to die. And a safek, it may cause him some other damage. But obviously that's what you do. So as Zilberstein says, that's where Moshe writes Alimaskana. So practically speaking, according to Rav Moshe, in terms of if a patient refuses to take a treatment, so in a case when it's a real sakana, so it depends. If he's, let's say, refusing it at all, and you know he's dying, so presumably you would have to do as much as you can to force him to take that treatment. If he's taking something where it's a little bit, so then maybe you wouldn't have to force him. But Rav Moshe says, you're still supposed to be mishtadel b'dvarim. You have to try to convince him that, you know, the doctor's orders are what you should be doing and what's the most correct thing to do. Just to point out, though, this has the same idea in terms of lo samar al dam reacha that we pointed out earlier. Again, if you see a patient that refuses care, so what happens if he refuses care and I don't give him care, am I over lo samar al dam reacha? I have the ability to heal him, and I'm not healing him. I know he's refusing, but I have the ability to heal him. So is that considered lo samar al dam reacha? So it seems to be, what the way Rav Moshe is understanding, is if the patient's refusing to, let's say, eat at all, so I'd be over lo samar al dam reacha if I don't force him to eat, because I have the ability to make sure he eats and lives. If he's eating a little bit, though, so this is a different situation. Because to say I'm over lo samar al dam reacha, and therefore I have to force him to eat, but that may cause another hezek. Right, so it's like what we said before, when losamod can cause another type of losamod. Right, in this situation also, by forcing him to eat, you may cause another issue, so maybe there's no losamod adam reacha in that case, and that's why if the patient is doing a little bit, you know, once he's doing a little bit, forcing him may not be the best solution, at least according to Rav Moshe, and it would be very similar in that case. I have not seen a tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer on this topic of when a patient refuses to take treatment, refuses to eat. I'm sure he has one. I was trying to look through the last 2 days. I couldn't find. So if I do find it, I'll be in the next year. But I couldn't find it. I assume he discusses it. It seems something that he should discuss. So I assume he does. But this is at least the way Rav Moshe understands it. And again, just to summarize. So we have an Isser Lo Samar Al Dam Reacha. The Isser Lo Samar Al Dam Reacha means if you have the ability to save someone and you don't, you're over this Isser. That's whether you have the ability to save with money, and that's even if a sakana is in the future. That would apply to both. Not only that, Lo Samar Al Dam Reacha may have some form of Shofech Damim, some sort of Ritzicha, maybe as if you kill someone. However, going on strike is a bigger question, because even though you may be Lo Samar Al Dam Reacha, on the other hand, this is different because it's part of the rules of the hospital. They know what they're doing. They're going to figure out another way to save the patients. That's part of, you know, the setup of the hospital. Number two, it's possible, Moshe doesn't love it, but it's possible, it can cause another lo samod, and therefore the first one gets nixed. And when a patient refuses, so if he totally refuses outright, so you're really supposed to force him, because otherwise it's lo samod. But once he's taking a little bit, so maybe there's no more lo samod, and therefore you wouldn't have to force him, you just kind of have to try to convince him your best to try to live his best life and try to listen to the doctors, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Okay, so that was very quick. I didn't discuss everything. We didn't have the time, and there's a lot more to discuss, but just a quick overview on the topic of Lo Samar Al Dam Reacha.